بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of the program. Today on the program we're talking about something so relevant to each one of us and something that many of us may be quite concerned about. We find ourselves having passed the month of Ramadan. We are a few weeks away from Eid already, and for some of us it feels as though just yesterday was Ramadan, while for others it may feel as though it was such a long time away. Many of us may be struggling to keep up with our habits, the good habits we developed in Ramadan, and today's program is going to help you and I and support us through that. Our guest today is an Islamic studies teacher and an entrepreneur. Mu'allima Juwairia Lunat is no stranger to the airwaves of Radio Islam. We're so grateful for her today joining us on the program and talking to us about spirituality post-Ramadan. Some of the topics that Mu'allima will be addressing include the aspects of Ramadan that, you know, we found most spiritually uplifting. How do we continue to incorporate that into our daily lives? Mu'allima will also share with us more practical steps on how we can continue praying regularly and maintaining a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond the month of Ramadan. Some advice from Mu'allima also for our children and strategies that we can use to maintain consistency in theirs and our Quran schedule or learning program. We'll also learn about the role of self-reflection and mindfulness when it comes to our post-Ramadan spiritual journey. And Mu'allima will also be sharing with us some nasiha and suggestions on how we can foster these positive changes and allow our teams to follow through the changes they have made this Ramadan. All this and more coming up in today's edition of the program as we hear from Mu'allima Juwairia Lunat. Mu'allima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A very warm welcome to the program. Jazakumullah khair for joining us. If we can perhaps begin with how do we, and I think that's at the forefront of our minds for many of us, how do we incorporate those Ramadan changes, those positive changes we made, how do we then continue incorporating them in our lives beyond the month of Ramadan? And I think, yeah, at this point, what are we going to do is ask you to share with us more on that and then to continue enlightening us on the steps and the methods and means by which we can develop the post-Ramadan spirituality and continue to nurture that. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we hand over to you, Mu'allima Juwairia.
Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, firstly, Ramadan is the month of the Quran, which is going to be one of the most uplifting parts of Ramadan. So in order to continue it, the Quran has rights on us. And one of the rights is that we complete the Quran, one khatam in Ramadan and one for the rest of the year. So what I would say is that to work out as females, for men it's different because men are not kept back from reciting Quran Sharif. But women, what you can do is your plan and your goal is to make one khatam in the rest of the 11 months. So you can work out how many days one has, for example, their hayd, their menses in out of Ramadan, 7 days, 8 days. You minus that from your calendar. And if, for example, you're going to give birth, then you minus the amount of days, 40 days, right? And then you work out how many days left of the year. And you will find that you will have many, many days left of the year. You might have 280-something or 90-something, dependent on what is your cycle. And then you work out there's 30 paras, or there's 848 pages. And then you divide 848 divided by the rest of the days of the year. If you, for example, have a certain illness where, you know, some days you're just so weak and you're unable to even do anything, and you really have maybe a chronic illness, then you can minus some of those days. And you divide it by the amount of days left of the year, and then you'll see how many pages you have to read, and then every day read that amount of pages. You will notice that it's not a lot. Of course, for those who are already reading Quran, then to make intention to just increase. So if you're reading quarter para, then half a para. If one para, one and a quarter para. So just to increase, obviously, in your capability. Another thing is, a lot of people will find that we don't have, because we fast, because we are not fasting, we have to cook, we have to do this, it's very different. So then, to plan it, your Quran times around your salah. Because if you say, I don't have the time at this, because generally after school I'm cooking, so I don't have the Dhuhr time, read 1-2 pages. And then Asr time, 1 page. Maghrib time, 1 page. So now break down the load that you feel you have, and then it will be a beautiful experience, a comfortable experience, an enjoyable experience, because it's now something you want to do, it's something that you need to do, it's something that your body desires, your mind, your heart, your soul desires, and it's not something that is enforced. Another thing is, charity is given a lot in Ramadan, so to now take charity and before perhaps in Ramadan you give often as possible. So in the rest of the year, then on a Jum'ah, just on a Jum'ah, take out some money to give in charity. Another thing is Taraweeh Salah. Taraweeh Salah is something that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. So if one cannot read Taraweeh Salah after. However, one can do is increase the Isha. A lot of the times we find a lot of people, because Isha is so long, it's 17 rakat, people do their fara'id, maybe a sunnah and their witr. So now to add. So if you are reading just 9 rakat, then make it 13 rakat. You know, and make, or 15 or 17, read the full Salah. Read the full 17 rakat, inshallah. And another important thing is, a lot of the times we only remember our neighbors in Ramadan. Our neighbors are such an important part of our life. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke so much about, said something to the effect that Jibreel alayhi salam advised him so much regarding the neighbors. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that the neighbors were going to be part of inheritance. That's how important neighbors are. So not to just know our neighbors in Ramadan, send savouries in Ramadan and Eid platters in Ramadan, but to know our neighbors throughout the year, because they have a right over us. Same point one. I think the only different thing we can add is generally in Ramadan it's easier to read Tahajjud Salah. So if you are finding it that there's no like that atmosphere at home, no one's up that time, so then to maybe make it a thing in your house that everyone, you know, is a reminder to each other. We're going to just wake up 10 minutes earlier than Fajr Salah just to read Tahajjud. Or then to inshallah incorporate it by after your Isha Salah, before you sleep, if you know for sure you're not going to wake up, then to read your Tahajjud and then last your Witr Salah. So after Isha you read your Isha Salah, then you read Tahajjud, and then you read your Witr, and then you go to sleep. And inshallah, then you can also get included in the reward. The other beautiful thing is, of course, when we're fasting, it's such a great thing. It's such a, it's just so a part of our lives, and we love it, and it's a detox, and our skin goes through changes through the glow and through the dullness, and our body goes through it, and actually scientifically our brain is made brighter even though we feel we're more dead. But there's so many health benefits. So then to inshallah fast on our sunnah day, so try to fast on a Monday and Thursday, try to fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of the month on the Ayyam Yabib. It's very healthy for the body. It's very good for the body, as well as for women not to delay in keeping their fast. A lot of women, we find that, you know, after Ramadan, okay, we're taking a break, and then before we know it, it's almost Ramadan again, and now we're trying to keep our qadas in Sha'aban. So the best thing is, whilst you're already in that, you know, that mood. And then make with few of your friends, say, right, let us have a group chat, or those who, for example, are still going to school or university, let's fast together. Then those that you spend a lot of your time with, it's easier. If you have daughters who are baligh, now make together, we're all going to fast. So now that atmosphere is still there, the ease is still there. You know, in school, university, whatever the case is, everyone is still fasting, your friends are fasting, you people can spiritually uplift each other. So try to keep your fast immediately after Ramadan. If you fast the 6th of Shawwal, fast the 6th and then start fasting it. But try to finish it before we hit the new year. And when we say new year, we mean of the lunar calendar, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awal, etc. Like I said earlier, it would start with your neighbors. Start with your neighbors, right? And of course your family. Your family are very important. It's always your family first, your neighbors, your community, and then the bigger town. So make sure that you are keeping family ties with your family, you are looking after them, you are sending them not just hampers in Ramadan, but if you know you have poor family, to start sending for them, then to your neighbors, and then to your community at large. If you are helping out somebody in Ramadan, it shouldn't only be that they feel that, oh, only Ramadan people help us because that's when there's so much reward. They should feel that you actually care for them. And that would also show your sincerity of your actions. It's not just Ramadan when you know Allah is giving you more. Yes, it's the month of money-making machine, that when you do something, your actions are multiplied. It's your fast ticket to Jannah by doing good deeds in Ramadan because of how much the rewards are. However, your sincerity will show when you continue the same after Ramadan. So you give the hampers throughout the year, right? To what you can afford. So you give, so you make sure that you take out money throughout the year. So one of the things that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to do when it came financially, and it is best to do it this way. Of course, not everybody can manage it, but if so, I promise you, you will find so much more barakah, blessings in your money than in other ways. And it is to divide your money in three. So one third you spend, so on food, on house, on clothes, kids, etc. One third you give in charity. And one third you save, right? When you save it, you put it aside or you put it in an investment, right? So it accumulates, or it's for one day that you might want it for Umrah, Hajj, etc. So this is the best way to do it. So if you are monthly taking out, you specify that I am taking out 1,000 rand, 500 rand, 200 rand, 3,000 rand. Every month, then you are able to see in your community who are those who need help, who are those who need hampers, etc., and you give it out to those who need, and then you look further in the country, and then out of the world. A lot of the times, we feel like, okay, no, I must give to like another country. But charity begins at home, as we know. So we first look at home. Who in our family needs? Which cousin, which niece is struggling? Then the neighbors, then community, then the country, then outside. So that is one way. If also, you know, you have like sometimes massive stars for the poor, or you have something like that that's going on in Ramadan, see how you can do it out of Ramadan. So you have like, you know, you call all the poor, you know, out of Ramadan for a meal, you know, as a group. This is a lot of organizations, Muslim Women's Forum, Khadimat al-Din, all these other forums of that are, you know, based on focusing on the, you know, the bigger picture in life. So just let's not keep it small. Let's just keep it in Ramadan. Let's continuously have these projects that we do in Ramadan, out of Ramadan. Also, another thing is like in Ramadan, sometimes we give away free halim in the community, or we cook food and we say, come collect. So another day in the year, every week Allah has given us that our rewards are even more, and that is Jum'ah. So on a Jum'ah also, we can do is that you cook biryani, and you can say, whoever in the community needs, let me know Thursday night, or I'm preparing, please come collect some lunch. So we can continue that love and muhabbat and community out of it as well. Also, what we can do is a very important sunnah as well, is visiting the sick. One of it's such a huge sunnah to visit the sick. And I know in some places that they have it up, like on Radio Islam as well. Then they announce who's sick in the towns, or on the masjid boards you find it. So to then out of Ramadan, to keep that muhabbat, to keep the brotherhood, to keep the community, to have that you visit the sick, you know, whether it's your neighbor or somebody you don't know, but you know someone who knows that person, go with them, see to the sick, visit the sick, see how you can help those who are sick or in need. The way to make our kids more mindful of this is to start them from a very young age, right? Not just Ramadan. So from a young age, let it be that, you know, you they see you giving sometimes a domestic just extra, or just give them money for the taxi, or when there's a beggar on the side of the road, that you pull the window down a little and you give them something, or you pay the car guard, or when you eat at a restaurant, you give the waiter. So it can't be something that should just start in Ramadan, that you say, come, let's go to the school, we're going to give orphans. No, it should be something from a young age they see. And then for you to start sending them. So when a beggar comes to the door, and obviously with, you know, safety and protection in, rules in place, if there's a beggar at the door, you say, go take the stem and give it to the beggar and make a dua. And then now they become more mindful, and now they themselves want to do it. And now every time there's a beggar, send your child to do it. Until eventually they're going to see the plight, they're going to feel sad for the beggars, and they're going to want to do it themselves. And then in Ramadan, you have your big project, but out of Ramadan too, if there's a project, you know, the community is doing, or the madrasa they go to give certain orphanages, or you know there's an old age home, etc., or this, you know, a widow house, or whatever the case is, and there are projects, or there is forums in your town who go out monthly, ask them, can my child come with you? Don't make it just a Ramadan thing. Let it be a part of their life. Your teenagers, your young kids, go with them. Ask around, what projects are there? I want to bring my kids with, right? And then teach them the sincerity of it. You know, it's not just about taking photos and I gave it, but it's where your left hand does not even know your right hand spent that money. It's a very private affair. It's something that is very close to your heart and something that shouldn't be made known. I think for Quranic strategies, I definitely would say to, you know, firstly, take tajweed classes. Sometimes we need to brush up, other times we didn't learn all of it. So to take tajweed classes before Ramadan and in Ramadan as well, to better our Quran. So whatever we do read, we know we're reading it correctly. The other thing is that a lot of, for kids especially, if they are reading Quran, then to read up the translation and tell them what they're reading about. Or to also have a English Quran and listen to that. Also to attend tafsir, or there's many, many correct tafsirs on YouTube or other programs like Raja Islam, etc. So listen to the tafsir of the surah that you're reading. Even Spotify has, you know, of course you must use the correct ulama and listen to their tafsir. Important thing is every day before starting Quran, you know, with the kids, so say Fajr time they read little bit. So just open Fadali Amal, read a virtue of the Quran, and then let them read. So now their mindset is of attaining, and it's something of more reward and virtue, and it's different to just, I need to read Quran. And after Ramadan as well, when students, even children, read Quran, continue a virtue in your house, bring ta'alim, read every day a virtue, so it becomes something beautiful for them. When they learning, they firstly, if they're students and they're young and they're kids, they're probably learning madrasa work. So tell them of the rewards of every letter learned, as well as try to explain to them little of, if it's age appropriate, of what the Quran is telling them. Give them challenges to, even though they are up at one page, but I challenge you to learn three more ayat or to read three more ayat, and challenge them with more Quran. If they're already reading their own Quran, for example, say six lines a day, which is not sabak, but just their own, then challenge them that right now, eight, two more lines. And then after they're consistent on that for a while, now two more lines. Another thing is for the older, for the like the teenagers and adults, they, you can even do Quran marking and journaling. So when you come across something like tafsir and you write it down and what touched your heart, or if you come across an ayah, then you underline it and you mark it and you put a sticker and you save it. And whenever
also to just make the kids realize in teenagers that all the answers in the world are in the Quran, and even when they feel sad, then just open randomly in the Quran and read what it's saying, and then and you'll see how Allah is speaking to you. And so many times when you open the Quran, here's the answer for you. So to turn to the Quran in time of joy, in time of happiness, in time of sadness, in time of anger, in time of anxiety, the Quran is there. Make the Quran your friend, because it is your friend. So Ramadan is the month of the Quran. It is the month to fast, to read Quran, and read its Taraweeh. But the general things of life, five times Salah, donning the hijab, making dhikr even for 5 minutes a day, reading Surah Yasin, we should start that before Ramadan. So that's why we did also Mubarak lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa Balighna Ramadan. You know, Allah bless us in Rajab Sha'ban, and let us reach Ramadan. So from before that, start trying the little, making sure that you're trying to read more of your daily salah, you're making your dhikr, trying to wear scarf even on a Friday only or twice a week, etc. Then in Ramadan, then we go on this full spiritual mode. Hijab 30 days, all our salah, taraweeh, etc., etc. And then by the end, it feels like we went on a training session, like we went to camp or to like rehab, and now when you come out, it's hard. So the ideal thing is to start before Ramadan our general life thing, and then in Ramadan, focus on what is for Ramadan, which is, you know, your fasting, etc. is mentioned. And then after Ramadan, the first thing to start with is Eid, to see that we do not lose the essence of Ramadan immediately once Shaitan is back, right? So in Eid, so from in Ramadan, we are in a spiritual month, we buy our Eid clothes in Ramadan, not on Eid day when there's no Shaitan, right? So then we shouldn't buy inappropriate clothes that is not befitting of Eid. Because what is Eid? A gift from Allah to us. It is a day of celebrating our ibadah, our worship. But you won't celebrate a worship by doing the wrong, by wearing inappropriate clothes. Example, somebody had a hijab jalsa. So you go and celebrate their hijabs. But you don't go just in a short skirt and a t-shirt. So the same way on Eid, we start with Eid, and actually we start the night of Eid. So when Maghrib Salah is done, you spot the moon for Eid, that is when. Because that is one of the most important nights. When all the angels gather, and it is the night of awards giving. And then on the morning, before the Eidgah, the angels are handing out the awards. And Allah is watching who stayed up now on Eid night. Who stayed up in my worship on Eid night? And then, of course, to spend Eid in the correct manner. So if you were staying away from talking to men or etc. in Ramadan, so we shouldn't just be like, oh, Ramadan's over, okay, now I'm going to speak to men again. So if we have sense that we stayed away from in Ramadan, and we did it in Ramadan, so to actually start weaning off in Rajab Sha'aban, and then leave in Ramadan. And then if there's still that little hope, desire, of course the intention is to stay away from sin, but then to see how do I minimize what I'm doing. Example, most people don't watch TV in Ramadan. So from Rajab Sha'aban to start lessening. And then Ramadan, the intention is to never continue. But if there is a thing like, no, I need to watch my show, then we need to try, of course, the ideal. The ideal is burn the whole farm, you know, burn the parasite, kill them all. That's the idea. But if you find and you see, okay, how can I lessen? So if I was watching every single day of the week a movie or my show, no, I'm lessening it to just 5 times a week, 3 times a week, 2 times a week, once, until you say, you know what, I don't need this in my life anymore. So, and then the good deeds you brought in Ramadan. If you feel like, okay, now I'm done with Ramadan, now you say, okay, how many times can I bring it in my life? So if in Ramadan you wore hijab every day, you wore scarf every day, then out of Ramadan you say, okay, you know what, I'm going to try for 3 days a week, then 4, then 5, then 6, then 7, inshallah. Ideally, we want to take Ramadan with us for the rest of our life. That is the ideal. But if you can feel that I'm not going to manage, I'm going to do it and then leave it, then rather little but consistent. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even likes that which is little but consistent. So leave this, do it for a while, for a period. 2-3 times a week hijab for a long time, 40 days, 90 days, right? 4 months, and then four, and then five, and then six, and then seven, until inshallah it's a forever part of your life, right? And even sin, leave the sin, make it less, until eventually it's no more part of your life. And also, to open fadali amal, you know, the actions we do are filled with virtue. It's to realize that deen is a protection, not oppression. You know, when we read salah, it seems like, okay, we're reading tarawih for Allah. But the benefits we get of dunya, qabr, akhirah, medically, is our benefit. Everything in Islam, we must remember, even if it seems like we're doing it for Allah, which we are, for Allah's pleasure, but the benefits Allah gives us in return is so much. Allah doesn't say, just do this for me and you get nothing back. No, everything we do, Allah gives us back. So you fast for Allah, and you get back rewards. You get back rewards in this dunya, you get rewards in the akhirah, and you get so many medical benefits, so much of things happen for your body, right? So every single thing that Allah prescribed for us, we must remember and keep it in our mind. It's good for me. This is good for me. This is good for me. Allah would never tell me to do something which is bad for me. Allah protects me from things which are bad for me. This is good for me. Not just akhirah and jannah, but for myself, for my health, for my mindset, right? And before Ramadan, so perhaps for next year, inshallah, before Ramadan, to have a goal, to write goals, to have goals. In Ramadan, I am going to make sure I make miswak every day. In Ramadan, I'm going to comb my hair because it's sunnah. In Ramadan, I'm going to give charity, even one rin every day. So it's important that before Ramadan, we have a goal plan. In Ramadan, we stick to it. And after it, we see these sunnahs are so wonderful, so beautiful. I'm going to continue this in my life. So even for our teenagers, to start to say, okay, let's slowly cut it off. If in school, you talk to all the boys, it's just a chill thing, there's boys in your class. Now, how? Fine. If you feel like there's boys to talk to and there's all the fitnas on the phone, then start with no more talking to the class boys unnecessarily. So start somewhere. Don't just leave Ramadan and it was a 1 month thing, it was a high, and now we're back on a low. No, our iman is like that. We'll be on highs, we'll be on lows. It's like the waves of the ocean, up and down, up and down. But those things that you can carry through, carry them through and do it for a while consistently, and then add, and then add, and then add, and inshallah in that way we'll be consistent, we'll do it forever, we'll do it for the pleasure of Allah, we'll enjoy doing it, we'll love doing it. It's not pressure, it doesn't feel like we're losing out, it doesn't feel like it was forced, it's something we want and we love. Also, it's such an important thing to daily journal. So you can have a list of questions, and even some of them which you can answer on your supper table. Example, just go around the table. What are you grateful for today? Where did you see Allah today? Maybe in the pink rose, or in the an insect in the grass which was almost unseeable, or in the scent of a perfume, or in the laughter of a baby, or in the two teeth of a baby. So, to as a family do this, like, what are you grateful for today? Where did you see Allah today? And then every morning, to just make your intentions. When you get up in the morning, you know, what are my intentions for today? My intention is to read all my salah. My intention is to to be kind, to be gentle, to be understanding, to be patient. My intention is, and then you write your goal for today. Okay, I'm gonna cook this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Now you become more aware of what you need to do for the day. Your intentions are in place. Then whatever you do, make intention. I'm reading Salah, not just Allah, I'm reading Surah Kasra for your pleasure, but Allah, I'm reading so that I can get the rewards. Allah, I'm reading so my sins can be forgiven. Allah, so what can really take our ibadah from 1 to 1,000 is your intentions. So you're reading Quran. Now don't just say, oh Allah, I'm reading Quran because it is it's rewarding. But oh Allah, for your pleasure, oh Allah, for reward, oh Allah, for Jannah, to save from Jahannam, from spiritual illnesses, from mental illnesses, unseen, nazar, jadu, sihr, oh Allah, to become close to you, Allah, to be your best friend, to be the coolness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eyes, to read with tajweed, to better my Quran, you know, and the list can go on and on. So when you're cooking also, now you become more conscious, oh, I'm using salt, it is sunnah, I'm using vinegar, it is sunnah, I'm drinking water. What are the my intention is to become strong. I'm cooking for my family so that they can use this to learn school, madrasa work, read salah, become close to you, to get energy to do your ibadah. So intentions, the goal is intention, intention, intention. Every single thing, you're picking up your child, you're lifting her up in your arms, oh Allah, because you taught us, the Muslim taught us to be merciful to our young ones, to show love to our young ones. The Muslim kissed his grandchildren, hugged his grandchildren. So now everything in life, make intention. Your day will be so fulfilled. Your whole day will be ibadah. You know, a lot of the times we think ibadah is just read salah, read fast, read tahajjud. But your whole day can be ibadah by simple things like intention. And before you, and then you can have other questions like, what was the best part of my day? What made me happy? Where did I need to be more patient? Who do I need to forgive? Who needs to forgive me? And you go through all these questions, and before you sleep, you think of your entire day. What can I better? What was good? What can I continue doing? And then you'll become more reflective of yourself, of your interactions, of your ibadah, of how you live your life.
JazakAllah khairan mu'allima for sharing those very relevant points, both for how we can work on our post-Ramadan spiritual growth, but also how our youth, our teenagers and our children can continue to develop themselves and their post-Ramadan growth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, them and you all, and the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that barakah and that khair in the ibadah of our Ramadan, to be consistent with that. And again, a reminder to us all, if we haven't as yet begun keeping our mist fast, our qada fast of Ramadan, let's do that now. It's an ideal opportunity right now, where, no matter which hemisphere you're in. If you're either going into the summer, well, it's still spring and it's still early days, so the days are not that long. And for those, especially those in Southern Africa or in Australasia, you're into your autumn and the days are starting to get shorter. So again, for you too, for all of us, it's a perfect opportunity. Let's take that opportunity to start keeping our qada fast, and also to start with our shawwal fast if we haven't, and if we can, let's start doing that as well. Mu'allima, our last point for today's discussion with you. We've benefited so much from everything you shared with us. Barakallahu fiki. Please, can you share with us your closing nasiha today? Jazakumullah khair.
My nasiha would be, which you, of course, can be part of Ramadan, but on its own, a different thing, is that to every single day, read the 99 names of Allah and read it and sing it and say it from the heart and the soul. Do it, just sit quietly, even read the translation, and to affirm that Allah is His 99 names. Many people will say, I don't do shirk, I don't ascribe partners to Allah, but we forget who Allah is. And when we say Allah is the sustainer, then when we stress over financial worries and we remember, no, but I said Allah is the sustainer. Allah says He is the sustainer. Why am I to worry? When we're anxious and stressing over a invitation or Eid or setting, and then we say, but Allah is the one we trust. So why am I stressing? So every day, take on Allah, to read Allah's 99 names. Say it from the heart, say it from the soul, read the meaning, affirm it, believe it, and let those names carry you through. And even in your life, to take those 99 names of Allah and see, we cannot be those names as Allah in its entirety, but we can have those qualities. Like if Allah is merciful, say, I want to be merciful today. And I'm going to be merciful to my kids, even if they are troubling me, to my domestic, my students, who, everyone. And we slowly start taking those names, that those qualities of Allah that people can have in them, to be compassionate, to be loving, to bring it in our lives, to be forgiving, and then realize that if I am forgiving, the easiest way for me to reach Allah and for Allah to forgive me is I am forgiving. If I'm merciful to people, Allah will be merciful to me. If I trust in Allah, Allah will make everything easy. If I hand over my life and say, Allah, you're the sustainer, I don't work hard, it's not me who brings provision, but you, Allah will send the provision. So to take from Allah, to take from Allah, to affirm, to try and be a good person, that's my nasiha for today. Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah, and in the last segment of this hour, we talk about ways in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us how to treat our families. Marriage is sacred, and Islam is a strong advocate of it. The act of marriage is considered a religious and sacred union through which the social unit, the family, is established and where spouses can live together in peace and tranquility. It is important for us to reflect on its objectives and to understand its significance from the Islamic frame of reference. The family life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for us to emulate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an exemplary family man. He was an effective, responsible, and loving husband, father, and grandfather. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught both men and women that the key to a successful marriage and a blissful family is a healthy relationship between husband and wife. To attain an abode of tranquility in a marriage, he showed us that there must be mutual love and respect between husband and wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind, gentle, understanding, forgiving, and respectful towards his household. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, Ayah 187, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. Your spouses are a garment. This is a metaphor for comfort, chastity, and protection, for you as you are for them. Mutual love beautifies a marriage, but having taqwa, Allah consciousness, is the most important factor, because love may fade over time. If love does fade, Islam still emphasizes on the importance of mutual respect between husband and wife. One of the great scholars of the early Muslim generation, the Tabi'in, Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh, once advised a father who was inquiring the traits to look for in choosing a possible spouse for his daughter. He said, give her to a man who has taqwa. If he loves your daughter, he will treat her well. And if he loathes her, he will not oppress her. A person is not seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a complete believer if that person does not treat their family with kindness. A true believer adheres to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holistically and does not nitpick merely based on their own personal inclinations. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up in a time when women had very few rights. They were considered inferior to men and were often treated as a property. Unfortunately, it was normal for female infants to be buried alive. When introducing Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls upon everyone to treat women with respect and honor. It was narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no man whose two daughters reach the age of puberty and he treats them kindly for the time they are together, but they will gain him admittance to paradise. Sunan Ibn Majah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The most complete of the believers in faith is the one with the best of character, and the best of you are those who are best to their women." Sunan at-Tirmidhi. The biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rich with examples on acts of kindness which he showed to his family, particularly with his wives. To show his affection, he would lie down on the lap of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha or call her by her nickname, Humaira, which means the red one, referring to her fair complexion. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also do housework and wash his own clothes without troubling his wives. Even when his patience was tried, he was never unkind in his words or deeds. Do we treat our spouses the same way? Communication is the key. Communication is essential in a relationship. Speaking gently is one of the traits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never used harsh words with anyone. He was immensely gentle towards his wives and children, even when there was a need to correct them. There was a great deal of communication in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's household. He respected and valued his wives and their contributions and opinions. He listened, he acknowledged inputs from them, and he heeded their advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his daughter, Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, so much that whenever he saw her entering, he would stand up, kiss her, and get her to sit where he was sitting. His actions towards his family provide a clear reflection of the values he upheld. His tenderness in dealing with his wives and children provides examples for you and I to follow in his footsteps as we interact with our own families. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed the best example for any family aiming to establish an abode of love and tranquility in their households. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all our homes abodes of tranquility and peace and respect. Ameen ya Rabb. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding of the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make us of those who follow through with that sunnah and implement it in our own lives. Ameen ya Rabb. So to conclude with today's program inshallah, and to reflect and just spend a few minutes of reflection, let us look at these ayats of the Quran that remind us. So when it comes to success and the journey to success, think about this. We think that due to our sins, we cannot come close to Allah. We think that the message of the Quran is only for the pious. We think that we have gone too far away to become the beloved slave of Allah. We think that the Quran is a book we simply recite. We think we cannot change. But the answer is we've only fallen into Shaytan's trap. Allah has the power to awaken the heart and even the most distant one. To contemplate the ayat of the Quran is like giving a barren land not only life but producing the sweetest of fruits. Just a sincere intention can pave the way for steadfastness, because steadfastness is achieved through toil and struggle. The one who struggles in the cause of Allah, Allah never abandons them. This is how a person attains steadfastness, not through themselves, but through the help and guidance of Allah. To see the heart change, we must act upon the commands of Allah as much as we can, for it is not just a book to be recited and then thrown or ignored. So, the time is now. We saw this Ramadan, what it was like to connect to the Quran and bring life to our dead hearts. Let us continue to bring life to our hearts beyond this Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah 16 and 17, "Has the time not yet come for believers' hearts to be humbled at the remembrance of Allah and what has been revealed of the truth, and not be like those given the scriptures before, those who were spoiled for so long that their hearts became hardened, and many of them are still rebellious? Know that Allah revives the heart earth after its death. We have certainly made the signs clear for you, so perhaps you will understand." Surah Al-Hadid, Surah 57, Ayah 16 and 17. And with that, we come to the close of this week's edition. We would like to thank our esteemed guest, Mu'allima Juwayri Alulat, on the program today for taking us through more on this very important topic of post-Ramadan spirituality and religious growth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to continue our good habits and good deeds of the past Ramadan. Ameen ya Rab. Until we meet again in next week's program, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.